It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here each and every day on the LRN.FM network here from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. I have on the line with me Gada Tahami. She is a, you know, there's a reason why the Arabic world isn't pro-American. And she's going to help us understand that. Now, she's an emeritus professor in the Department of Politics at Lake Forest College, author of The Mobilization of Muslim Women in Egypt. Do I got you there, Gada?
Yes, I'm right here.
Gada, help me with, when you wrote the book, The Mobilization of Muslim Women in Egypt, mobilize them to do what?
Well, you know, this was a study of the Islamic mobilization of women, that is the impact of the Muslim Brotherhood on women. And my point that I made there is that the Egyptians have really experienced every type of liberation ideology for women that one can think of. They started in the 1920s by shedding the veil. They started by trying to be very Western. And then they went during a socialist phase in the 1950s. This is a phase we call state feminism, when the most important thing was to provide workers' rights for women, to protect them in the workplace. And then under President Sadat, the women's movement was co-opted by his wife, and it became a veneer, really, a veneer of Westernization in order to demonstrate to his United States Western friends that he is really a very modern president. In the midst of all this, beginning in the 1970s, the Islamic movement in Egypt began to really concentrate on women, and that's very interesting. So I think maybe my title is a little bit misleading. I don't mean mobilizing all Muslim women. I mean really particularly women who were adhering to the Islamic ideology. And most of these were in the universities. We cannot forget that, but many of the veiled Muslim women you see on the streets of Cairo and in Egypt are really university grads. And they are important to the movement because they are voters, and they bring that kind of power with them. And they used to be very visible in demonstrations on behalf of Islamic issues. But then, you know, there's a problem for the Muslim Brotherhood, and that's now coming to the fore. And that is the Muslim Brotherhood wanted really to, I would say, control the women's movement as much as they want. So one of their principles, and they wrote about this a great deal, was that, yeah, Muslim women can work, Muslim can be in the workplace, and they are in Egypt, but they cannot be heads of state, that the headship of state cannot be given to a woman or to a non-Muslim. And that became the great divide between the Muslim Brotherhood and between the other secular movements that you see today in Tahrir Square in Egypt. Because indeed what we're seeing is a civil society movement. It is not really a Muslim Brotherhood movement.
You know, I saw there was a lot of YouTubes that kind of made it into our culture with English translations and so on, and it would give us the impression that it was young people and young women that were very inspirational for getting the men into the street. Is that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. You want to look at the movement called the April 6th movement, which is 3 years old. It's a breakaway movement from another smaller, well, a big group actually called Tomorrow, Al-Ghad. And the April 6th movement, which supported also a strike, a worker strike in 2008, is run by women and men who use the social media. And I'll mention two women's names. One of them is a co-founder of the April 6th, and her name is Amal Sharaf. And there's another woman called Asma Mahfouz, who's 26 years old, who has been harassed by the authorities and the police because she mobilized young people through the internet. And she's the one who you probably saw using a bullhorn in the Tahrir to call on men to join. Historically, you know, the appearance of women during demonstrations is very effective in the Muslim world. They actually lead demonstrations. It's extremely effective. And you notice these women are wearing jeans. You know, they're not covering their hair. They're very Western, very secular, and I think very politically sophisticated.
Well, politically sophisticated. You know, this is one thing that I'm really hoping that we get to talk about today. And I'll tell you what's going on from our perspective. You are where in the United States? Are you in? You're in the United States, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm in Chicago.
Okay. Now, I want to preface this a little bit and have you think about it because I need your help. We're part of the Lovelution, okay? We were behind the ones that did the graphics and so on for the Ron Paul Lovelution, the revolution around the 2008 presidential campaign. Mm-hmm. And what that did is it gave an entire young generation the concept, the idea that, you know, I own myself. You know, that this corrupt government, what's happening with our economy, what's happening with the wars and all this, you know, terror threat and everybody's an enemy and all this kind of, you know, we're just not buying it, okay? Mm-hmm. So what they've done is I want to share, with the people in Cairo, because I know that Cairo is the center of the pop culture of the entire Arabic world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, if we were to send, we just had in the last segment, I just got an email from Cato. Cato is a think tank and they got their own mm-hmm. issues. But one thing they do have is they have the Declaration of Independence that is printed in a green book with Arabic titles on it in Arabic. To get the Declaration of Independence in Arabic. Then there's another flash animation called The Philosophy of Liberty that just explains in a very simple 7-minute film that is just very almost impossible to misconstrue, is that as a human being, you are your own ultimate ruler. You own yourself. Because if you don't own yourself, well, then somebody else owns you and you're a slave.
Well, that's really, what should I say? That's very inspiring.
Well, this is my question to you. If I were to, and we're going to be spending thousands of dollars on this. Mm-hmm. We don't want to get involved in who's going to take over whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to be in charge? You know, we're like, hey, how about nobody be in charge? Let's replace the government with nothing, okay? I mean, so that's how far we go. So I am not worried about that. Mm-hmm. I want to free as many minds as we can. So I'm going, if I'm going to free them, to what? Because what they keep screaming, and I get the Obama administration and Hillary and everybody else, well, we got to keep Mubarak there or somebody else that would be his, you know, clone. As we go through this democracy process by which we'll let the people to have a voice, and then they're just going to be, you know, wanting more of what somebody else has, and it's not really freedom. So I'm going, if we can infect the entire Arabic culture with the idea of the what made America, you know, the old America before it went corrupt, and what made America so prosperous so quickly was the concept of self-ownership and that you get to keep what's yours. And somebody can't, you know, wear a badge and have a gun and a shiny seal on something and say, we get to steal your stuff, you know. So if you can do that, what kind of impact would that have in the young Islamic and Arabic world?
I think it will be very empowering if it is young people to young people. I think what they don't want to see over there, and they're making it very clear, is somebody telling them what to do. And you made yourself clear also that that's not your intent. What they have suffered from is the idea during the Bush administration.
Okay, now wait, let's go. We're going to break. Now, you know, I wanted to get you thinking. I got you thinking. So when you come back, you know, I'm hanging on every word, okay? So go ahead and start thinking about this, because we're doing this within days, if not, you know, more the most by end of next week. So when this goes, and you can help us where to send some too, we'll be right back with Gotta tell on me in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, well, we're speaking to Gada Tohami, and she's the author of a book that's talking about the rise of influence of the Muslim women in the Arabic world and certainly in Egypt. And I'm really interested in your response because I don't understand Arabic culture, certainly in Egypt. Are they of a hive mentality, a collective? We serve, you know, kind of like Japanese are ancestors and emperor. You know, maybe China is, you know, emperor or the collective. We have other countries that are more tribal and so on. I'm, you know, Afghanistan may be to their own families and tribes. And so, I mean, explain to me the culture in Cairo.
Well, I don't think that they are tribal or that they are high culture believing in an emperor or in a common god even. I think Egypt is one of the most westernized countries in the Middle East, maybe more than Lebanon, because it was the first to encounter French influence in the early part of the 19th century. What is the problem with all of these societies is that you have partial westernization. It is not complete westernization or modernization. So remnants of the old culture remains. The old Islamic culture, which is based on holy texts, on a common ethic that people all share together. And I think coming into the 20th century, what most of them complain about, what most Arabs and Muslims complain about, is the loss of their identity, the loss of their cultural identity, the loss of their national identity, because of the superimposition of westernization on them. That is the westernization of the third world in general, and the Middle East in particular, has not been a voluntary process. Indeed, one of the most famous religious leaders in Tunisia, Mr. Ghannouchi, who's now coming back to claim a role in Tunisia, has made a profound statement a few years ago. He said, for us, Arabs and Muslims, westernization came on the back of a tank. It was really imposed on us by colonization, by military means, etc., etc. Having said that, I think they're smart enough, and I think young people are smart enough to realize that they need westernization, you see? They need modernization, but on their own terms. That is the cultural revolution that you're seeing in this part of the world. By the way, they admire democracy. I admire democracy growing up tremendously. The question is, it should not be imposed on them for propaganda purposes. And I think that was happening during the last Bush administration, because the Bush administration tried to, what we really call the imposition of democracy or the exportation of American democracy abroad. What's wrong with that? A lot is wrong, because there are different types of democracy.
Yes, exactly. Now, Gada, that's one thing I wanted to ask you about, is that when you say westernized or Western culture or democracy or any of these other terms, you know, that, man, that gets slung around a lot, you know, even here in America, and it means whatever the heck they say it means. So I'm wondering, when you say westernized, that means what? I mean, you know, for me to be, you know, a real American, you know, it's to be, the purpose of government is to protect my individual rights here in America. That was the promise that they made us. That's why this show is Declare Your Independence, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I understand the concept, the proper role of government, defense of my individual rights, my right to live, my right to sustain my life, my liberty, go and make stuff. And when I make stuff, it's mine. Mm-hmm. So this, when you say westernize, mm-hmm. that's what I think of. What do they think of?
Well, you see, they think of the loss of their sense of community. I think you have to agree with me that in the United States, a lot of this loss has happened because of industrialization. You see, the parts of the world that are partially industrialized, most of the third world is partially industrialized, they're really in between. So the poor people cling to their communities. They don't want individual freedoms as such, because that is an empty promise. If individual freedom can really protect you, gives you a standard of decent living, well, yeah, you'd welcome that. See, that's where they really differ philosophically with Western countries, especially for women, by the way. Women have been called upon by the American feminist movement, for instance, to be individualist, to be out and about and to work and do all that. They don't seem to be able to do this without the cooperation of the family. The family remains as the center of their existence. And that doesn't make them tribal. That simply makes them more community-oriented.
No, the family is going to be the center of my existence, too. So I'm asking, is that family existence, does it welcome the concept of... See, when you say westernized or industrialized or any of this other stuff, that's side effects of stuff. That's side effects of a free market. Hell, the Arabic community, the Arabic culture, they were kind of the beginning of commerce. I mean, they were the most commercial people, you know, known. So I'm going, you know, it's not like it's lost on them. So I'm going, you know, when I say freedom or I'm talking about things like the ability to be able to contract and have those contracts enforced, you know, using what? I mean, is it a cultural thing? Do I have to have the government? Does the government protect the bad guy from having to honor their contract? I mean, these are the kind of things I'm talking about. So in a family setting, if you would have a family, children brought up that they are the ultimate ruler of themselves, would that be opposed?
No, I don't think that would be opposed. And by the way, Islam calls on governments to honor contracts. Certainly Saudi Arabia honors contracts in the Sharia. The people who sell you on the idea that Islam is socialist is really wrong. That's nonsense. Islam encourages commerce, as you said. Islam calls on people to dress their best when they go to the mosque, because to display wealth is really a sign that God's eyes have approved of you. You see? It's almost like the Calvinist idea. It's the product of hard work, and so that is really welcome. Now, well, that's not what's happening in the modern world. What's happening, or what had happened since the 18th century, since the last period of the Ottoman Empire, is that the Eastern Mediterranean world has turned from producers to consumers, you see? So what they resent and they speak about always, in particularly the Islamist rhetoric, is the power of consumerism. The fact that their countries have become dumping grounds to Coca-Cola, cigarettes, things that they really don't need, you see? That's the crux of the matter. They even speak about becoming consumers of culture rather than producers of culture. That's a long historical process. Now, again, what I'm seeing is a very healthy revolution by young people, which are saying you cannot turn your back on the West. There's a lot of good things about Western countries, including the revolution of the internet. Who created the internet? United States. That's empowering individuals, empowering people. They understand that perfectly well. But consumerism is a problem, you see? Globalization has not been kind to the third world. Globalization, or the ideology of free trade, has meant that the stronger partner really sort of takes over your market.
All right, our time went by way too fast. Hopefully, you'll come and share with us again. Can we ask you to come on again? And
I would love that.
So would I.
Stimulating. I would love that.
Well, I tell you, you know, we're in the middle of this. I'm going to need your help because can you hold on through the break here? Just hold on. I want to talk to you a little bit about our project. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on the LRN.FM network in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. On the line, I have Amin Mahood. He's going to help me with the pronunciation. Did I got that, Amin? Did I get that right?
Amin.
Amin. Amin Mahood.
Amin Mahmood.
Thank you. And you're with the Alliance of Egyptian Americans. Now, I want to get an understanding of what that means. And I know that you've had protests in Washington, D.C. You spoke at the National Press Club. Supporters are going out to the embassies and so on. And I'm wondering, you're asking that we support the people in Egypt in their quest for freedom and social justice. But before we can go any further, I need to have a definition of what that means.
Yeah, we are several Egyptian organizations, and I am in two of them. One of the Egyptian Association for a Change, and the other one, the Alliance, the one you mentioned, the Alliance of Egyptian American, and both organizations are calling for democratic Egypt. We promote democracy and social justice in Egypt. We've been active for a while. And lately, after the revolution in Egypt on the January 21st, we had our press conference to ask the American administration to support the people and stop support any dictators in Egypt or any other place in the Middle East. But in particular, Egypt, as we watch in the last 2 weeks or so, people going out, millions on the streets of Cairo, and still not Mubarak or Obama can get it, that the voice of people is out, then we have to follow that.
Okay, now let me go ahead, and I still want to get some definition of terms here. When you say democracy, okay, are you asking that we have some kind of one person, one vote, majority rule? You get we vote for more goodies from whatever, and we get them. I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Democracy is the same everywhere, and Egypt have a long history of democracy since the middle of the 1800s. We had the first parliament in 1866, and we elect the mayors of the cities, the villages, for years and years before that, hundreds of years before that. People in Egypt know what democracy means, people to choose somebody to represent them, and they will depend on that person to voice their needs. And then one man, one vote, of course, that's equal to everybody in the society.
Well, right now you have what? I mean, we're in the West, we're given the idea that you have elections. It's just the same guy keeps winning all the time. But the are they trusted? Do they think they really get to have a choice? Is there opposition candidates that would represent the people? Tell me what's really going on now, because I'm getting the impression you're having elections. It's just they're corrupt. How do you make them uncorrupt?
We have a democracy, they call it, but it is not, because we have an election, but they steer it the way they want. They crack down on all opposition. They made some opposition parties, they give them some benefits. They have to depend on the government to have any funds. They promise them some number of seats in the parliament. And the last election was a disaster on November 28th of 2010. Really, the ruling party won 98%, which really they forged, and they... We have documentation, pictures, videos about the way they mark the ballots themselves. They change the ballots. They fix everything and put it in the boxes.
Yeah, it sounds like America. Okay, now we experience this stuff too. So you know I'm with you, brother. But you know I want to make sure that we understand what you're advocating. Should you get an accurate election? Let's say you get an accurate election and the majority of the people would want more something, you know, more what? What do they want?
No, we want somebody to represent the people. We don't want somebody to forge the election and we call it equal. And it's not like United States, as you mentioned. I disagree.
Oh, no, we got corruption here, too.
Corruption everywhere, but that's beyond corruption. That's beyond and above anything you can imagine. When we now hear that Mubarak have 40 or to $70 billion, him and his family, I don't have a proof of that myself, but I read it in the English newspaper and the American newspaper anyway. But we have a really corruption. We don't have a election. We don't have any election. They refuse, the Egyptian government refused to have a monitors of the election from domestic or international. They refused that. They said, we don't want, they only have a figure, some few people, they accept them to monitor within in Egypt, and they give them permission the night before the election. Can you imagine how the white Egypt, they can go to hundreds or thousands of ballot places? It's really, they do it what they want.
I'm with you. You know, I believe that you have a corrupt electoral process. Not a doubt in my mind. But that's not my question. My question, let's assume that it was accurate. It's accurate. And you have the people of Egypt go to the ballot box and they say, all right, we're going to get our votes counted accurately this time. Yeah. And I'm wondering, what are they going to be voting for? You know, or you know, is it, you know, this mobocracy kind of majority? They got too much over here. We want to take from them and give to us. Or do we just want to do away with the limitations on us being able to keep our stuff and them not take it? Being able to open a business without asking their permission, be able to compete without having the state support some monopoly of, you know, somebody's friend. I mean, you know, I mean, what are they really looking for?
Yes, that's exactly what people are looking for. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, full freedom of elect their representative, honest representative. They would like to have a free to have to open business, free to run the country, and reduce or eliminate the corruption in Egypt completely, and then to have the benefit of raising the standard of living of the Egyptian people. We have over 40%, 45% of the people living under $2 a day, which under the poverty line of the United Nations figure. We would like to eliminate that. Increase education, and so on.
Okay, let me go ahead. What I'm building up to, I've been talking to a lot of people on the issue of Egypt. And we, as, you know, libertarian, freedom-oriented, we just want, there are those that want to be left alone. There are those that won't leave them alone. And I'm certainly advocating for being left alone. And I don't really want the government to do something for me. I just want them to stop doing stuff to me. And I'm wondering, the culture in Cairo, the people, are they able to open up their minds to the idea that as individuals that they own themselves, that they aren't like slaves or subjects to the state or Mubarak's, you know, cattle? I mean, you know, where is their mindset? How do they think?
We are really now under Mubarak mercy, as you said it, but people want to have a full independent from the government. We don't need the government to run our business. But we change the system from social system to capitalist system. And people like to have their own business, their own work. They can work for the government or for any other business, but to be independent, to depend on themselves. They can build themselves, but corruption.
When we come back, I want to see how this applies to the youth. They're in the streets. I want to know who are the people that are in the streets and who supports them and what's the future. We'll find out when we come back with Amin Mahoud in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, where we have, you know, Cairo, Phoenix has very similar climate, except we don't get an ocean, dang it. Well, you know, we have Amin Mahoud on, and I apologize for not being able to pronounce your name correctly, but he's with the Alliance of Egyptian Americans, and there was another organization that you wanted to make sure got mentioned. What was that?
Yes.
There was another organization you were with. What was the name of that organization?
Egyptian Association for a Change, USA.
And the question that I have for you now is that I want to preface this a little bit so you understand, you know, the context. The young people, I'm getting the impression, the more and more I talk to different people, that the young people in Cairo are, we would see them a lot more, I don't know if the word is westernized, but, you know, some people that we would feel comfortable with, that they have the same kind of clothing, they watch the same kind of movies, their entertainment is the same, they associate with their friends and elders and parents and so on, very similarly as how Americans would. They just, you know, have a different culture. So I want to know, when I have a young individual from Cairo and he's holding up a sign and it says, "We know the truth," I want to know what it is, that the truth that they're trying to say that they know. What would the truth be?
They know the truth that this government in Egypt now is no longer represent them. They really calling for liberal government. A majority of these people, as you mentioned, wearing Western, and so we all grow up wearing Western clothes and so on. In Egypt in particular, Egypt to be the advanced country, but lately in the last 30 years under Mubarak, become a hell for a lot of people, and they would like to get out of that.
Let me make another point. That very thing, Iraq was considered very secular and very westernized and very modern and very educated and very a lot of things. And now we got a big, giant, humongous military base there or embassy. We have a lot of dead Iraqis. We have, you know, a rise of Islamic fervor and rhetoric. And I'm wondering, in Egypt, you know, are we getting to the threat that we may accomplish the same thing? That we, you know, would get them to be polarized, and you have the religious individuals trying to take power, and that being fostered by U.S. policy? Are we causing that to happen?
Okay, I will say regarding Iraq, it's caused by United States involvement, really. The way they involve in Iraq make it chaos, and until now is not settled.
No, agreed, and I'm worried that the same kind of thing is going to happen to Egypt.
No, in Egypt now United States is still playing a game with Mubarak. They try to keep him in power, and they say something today, and tomorrow they change it, or they play in both sides, which doesn't work because people understand. When you say the sign, we understand all the game they try to do, to continue the same status quo with some bigger reforms in the last minute, you know. In the last minute now, after 30 years, we've been begging him to have a vice president as example, yes? And last week he appointed vice president, and the vice president now talking and running everything. That's something cannot work like that. It cannot work in the last
minute. No. We recognize that, too. We knew he was just a, you know, a tool of the West. We get it. But, you know, we have now on our webpage a story where U.S. Marines are saying that multiple platoons are heading to Egypt of United States soldiers right now.
Yeah, that will be a disaster. They will not involve, I believe, or I hope, because it will be a disaster for United States in the area. Egypt is the largest Arab state, and Egypt is not even Iraq. Egypt have 80 million. Iraq was 25 million. Egypt is 83 million. Egypt will not accept involvement from any outside country, United States or any, and they will be considered as an occupation, and all that to save somebody's bride or some individual because they want their interest. American interest can be only with the democratic Egypt, not with the dictator in Egypt.
But what are we looking at, a difference between the Bush administration and Obama and Hillary Clinton and so on? Do the people in Cairo and Egypt see that there is a difference, or there's no difference and it's the same policy? I mean, what are you looking at?
No, in a matter of fact, it's the same policy, in my opinion. United States always maintain a same foreign policy, especially in the Middle East. They never changed that. When Obama came, he tried to have a cosmetic change, but he did not. Bush called for democracy, and he never followed up with it also. And then Obama came and talked about stability. And stability or democracy they're talking about, for the last 70 years after the Second War until today, the policy of the United States in the Middle East is deceiving the American people. They never really dealt fairly in the Middle East. You can solve a lot of problems if we be fair and we'll deal in the Middle East fairly, not supporting dictators. We don't support that. We don't want to support dictators. If we, United States here, I'm an American citizen as well, we support the principles of the United States. Why you support dictators in the Middle East and say that my interest is with the dictator? Your interest is better for the long run with the democratic Egypt. You will have a liberal democratic Egypt which you can deal with and have your interest. Unless the United States is afraid of democracy. They might be afraid of democracy, and that's my view now. They afraid of dealing with somebody who will tell them no. They want somebody
no,
to
no,
say
no, no,
yes,
you're right.
Yes.
You're absolutely. You're understanding what a lot of people here in the United States understand also. We look at our federal government right now, might as well just put a Mubarak face on them. Okay, same thing. Now, they may, you know, wear shinier ties.
Not that much, Ernest. Not that bad.
Hey, I don't deal in degree, okay? Either they're people that are telling me what I must or cannot do, or they're not, and they are. So the amount of how much pain I got to put up with and how, you know, roughly they frisk me at the airport and how much they grab my groin and how much they stop me on the highway and how much they drag out my family and inspect me on the interstate and look in my trunk and do it. How much they do that is not the point. It's that they do it and they're going to increase doing it and it's going to get worse. You already live under such oppression. I don't want to, and I'm going that direction. Can you see that we see it coming?
Yes. And then I don't want to talk about the United States for now, really. Let me concentrate on Egypt.
Well, this is the point, the reason why I wanted to bring this up.
Yes,
I want to help. We are sending packages of information. We have a lot of people, guests, have been on this program. And the reason I ask you the questions that I have is that we have been involved in the love-olution here, the Ron Paul love-olution, where we're like, look, we're not for violence. We're not for doing it. We just want to be left alone. We want to be able to have the concept that we own ourselves, and we're willing to share that with the youth in Cairo. So we're sending Cato Institute has Arabic translations of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and we're sending hundreds of those. We're sending hundreds of the Philosophy of Liberty DVDs. We're sending hundreds of, and we're getting, and if you have a place for us to send them, we'll send you an email. Please, you know, give us where you think these would do some good, because what we're working on is changing an entire culture. Changing the concept that not that we just need a better kind of ruler, is that we're allowed to rule ourselves. And and that's the question that I have for you, that you have these young people in Cairo. The reason I phrase my questions the way I have is I don't want to, you know, think that I support them just saying, we're going to vote for you to give us more stuff. We're going to have more social net. We're going to take from those that have and redistribute it. That's not what I'm looking to do.
No, we don't want that either, and the young people don't want that. They never ask for any redistribution of wealth. They want people not to steal, not to be corrupt, and everybody can do it on their own. We believe that God give everybody power they can deal with it, and they can make their living under their own. We don't look who's poor or rich. That exists in the world, and we appreciate that, but everybody can build themselves.
Excellent. And we want to help. We're going to be in contact with you and let you know what we're doing, as this project is going to send off in less than a week. So you make sure you look at your emails and we'll be in contact. Thanks for coming on. Amin Marood from Alliance of Egyptian Americans. Thanks for spending time with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ernest. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.